Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And let's head out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a Hall of Fame quarterback. And that, of course, is Warren Moon here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Warren, thanks for the time. How you been?
I'm great, Zach. How you doing? Happy New Year to you. Hope you had a great holidays.
Yeah, right back at you as well. Thanks so much for the well wishes. Before we get into the postseason, we got to talk about the Texans. There's been a lot of rumors, a lot of reports this week about Deshaun Watson not being happy with the franchise. Just what do you make out of what we've seen unfold, not only this year, but really in the last week with the Texans?
Yeah, from what I understand, they had a conversation with Deshaun, and they were going to have him involved in some of the process of picking out a new general manager and also a new head coach. They were going to let him get involved in that process. To what degree, I'm not sure, but they at least wanted to keep him abreast of what they were doing. And come to find out, he finds out who their new general manager is through social media. So they didn't confer with him like they promised to, and he's worried about what they're going to do with the head coaching position, because that's something that's very important to him as far as the future of the team going forward. And he'd like to, you know what the team's ideas are about that. So right now he feels like he's been lied to, and he doesn't have a lot of trust in the top brass right now. So there's a big dispute right there, and they're trying to get him in the office to sit him down to talk to him. But I don't think he's in a mood right now to talk to anybody.
And I don't blame him, because you look at where this team was a year ago. They were getting ready for the playoffs. They won a playoff game. They got into the divisional round. We know the collapse up against the eventual Super Bowl champions in the Chiefs. But now to see where this is a year later, plus DeAndre Hopkins no longer being there. If I'm Deshaun, I'm wondering, and I wonder where your confidence level's at, if you have confidence in the organization that they'll be able to rectify these problems that the quarterback has with the team.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope they can get him in a room and they can sit him down and talk to him. I think that might help things. But until there's some communication that goes on, that's with anything, you got to have communication before you have any progress. So as long as both sides are apart like this, yeah, nothing's going to happen good about this. And hopefully their new general manager, Dan Caserio, can talk to him as well and put some confidence in him how they're going to try and build this football team, because this team was a pretty good team last year. Like you said, they had the Chiefs down early in that playoff game, ended up getting beat by the Chiefs. But from where they were last year at this time compared to where they are right now, it's a huge difference. And Deshaun is a guy that's used to winning. You know, he won in college. He won a national championship. He played in a championship game. And he's been in the playoffs most of the time since he's been with the Texans. So to have a season like this right now, and the type of players that they're letting go out of this organization, whether it's DeAndre Hopkins, excuse me, and you know guys like Clowney and Dwayne Brown, and all these really great players they're letting get away from this football team. I think Laremy Tunsil, all these guys have been there and they're gone now, and these were great, great players. So that makes you wonder, you know, what the organization is all about and what they're doing as far as running this football team.
I know a lot of pressure is going to be on Nick Caserio to restore this relationship with Deshaun Watson. But really, Warren, isn't this more of a Cal McNair problem, the owner of the team right now? And I don't know much about Cal, but it seems like he keeps on making the wrong decisions.
Well, it always starts from the top. There's no question about it. And Cal took over from his dad, you know, Bob, who passed away. I'm sure that wasn't his expertise as far as running a football team. So he's probably learning on the run. And he's probably trying to get the right people in there to help him run this football team. But right now, he's got an unhappy quarterback, and I think that should be first priority on any team's list to make sure your quarterback is healthy, especially one as talented as Deshaun Watson is.
What advice would you give to Cal, knowing the player side of it and how frustrations can develop? What advice would you give to Cal and when he talks to Deshaun and what he should say?
You know, just be honest. Just be honest. Be honest with what the process was for the general manager and be honest with what you're doing going forward with the coaching. And that's all I'm sure any player wants. They just want people to be honest with them and know where they stand. So if they're going to have Deshaun involved in the process, let him know exactly how he's going to be involved in the process. Are they just going to keep him up to breast on what's going on? Or are they going to ask for his opinion on who they're going to hire? Just let him know exactly what is going to be expected of him, and I think either he'll disagree with that or he'll agree with it, and they'll come to some type of understanding.
Should they have even have told him that he would be involved in the process?
I don't know. Some teams do. I remember when Jack Pardee was hired by the Houston Oilers when I was there. They came to me and asked my opinion about what I thought about Jack as being a coach, so they will do that with certain players or you know certain quarterbacks, and then there's other teams that I've been on that I had nothing to say. I mean, they said nothing to me about who the new coach was going to be, so it just depends.
Wrapping up with Warren Moon right now on CBS Sports Radio. One more on the Texans before we get to Wild Card Weekend. Jack Easterby, to me, this rise is so like unfathomable to me that he was the character coach with the Patriots, and it seems like he's getting his way. Now with everything in the Texans' decisions, clearly he's in the ear of the owner and Cal McNair. How about the Easterby side of things? Because that's like the shady part to me, this guy's rise without knowing really much about him.
Yeah, from what I understand, he really has the owner's ear, and he makes a lot of the decisions around there. So he's somebody that I think should be in that room, in that meeting, to make sure that they're all on the same page because of how much influence he has over Mr. McNair, as far as the owner is concerned. So, yeah, he's somebody you definitely have to worry about because he has a lot more power than you think.
All right, Warren, when we get to the games this weekend, let's start off with the team that you know very well, the Seattle Seahawks. How about their offense as of late? It's not been as strong as it was earlier in the season. What are you seeing out of the offense right now?
Yeah, it's really kind of bogged down. It's become more, I'm sure, of what Pete Carroll likes as far as there's a little bit more balance, but they're not getting the explosive plays that they were getting earlier in the season. And Russell Wilson just doesn't seem to be in a rhythm here over these last 3 or 4 weeks. So they're going to have to do something to get him going early in the ball game, some really high percentage rhythm-type throws to get him in a groove so he can, he can maneuver against this Rams defense, a defense that knows him very, very well. You know, whenever you play a division opponent, you play them twice a year, so they know your personnel. They know all the things you like to do. You're not going to fool them very much, so it's going to come down to execution and who takes care of the football. And so what I think Brian Schottenheimer has to do, their offensive coordinator, is really get Russell into a groove early in this ball game, and they definitely have to run the football against the Rams to keep them at bay, because if they become one-dimensional, the Rams have one of the better front fours in the league. They put a lot of pressure on the quarterback led by Aaron Donald.
And I take a look at the Rams offense. I'll be compelled to see who's going to start at quarterback. Goff coming off the thumb injury, didn't play last week. Wolfer got the win up against the Cardinals. Do you go Seahawks or you go Rams here? Let's just say if Goff is able to play in this game, who do you think wins the game?
I think the Seahawks will win it close. I think it'll come down to the quarterbacks. And I like Russell as far as being able to make big plays at the end of ball games. That's what he's kind of known for, and that's what he did the last time they played the Rams. He had a huge touchdown pass late in the game to Hollister to put that game away. And Jared Goff is a guy who, when pressure gets to him, he doesn't play as well, especially when he has to win the football game from the pocket. He's more of a guy that you want to get play action with. You want to get him out on the edge and let him throw on the run. But if he has to throw it from the pocket and pressure gets around him, he doesn't seem to make the play. So I give the edge to Russell Wilson.
When we get to two quarterbacks that have been in this league for a long time and have had a lot of success, Drew Brees and Tom Brady, looking at the NFC, they're both expected to win and win big this weekend. Saints going up against the Bears, and then Tom Brady going in to play Washington's football team. Who do you have more of a belief in and a conviction in to get to the Super Bowl this year if it was between Drew Brees and Tom Brady? You like the Saints or you like the Bucks better?
I like the Saints mainly because it's not a big home field advantage this year because of no crowd, but there is going to be a little bit of a crowd. But I think just the Saints, because they're going to be at home, they don't have to travel. They might not have to go into any bad weather until they maybe have to go to Green Bay. Drew Brees is a really good passer, more so indoors, and he'll be indoors in the Superdome, where Tom Brady has to go outdoors and play in Washington. Who knows what the weather is going to be like up there. And they have a really good front four. I think they're going to beat the Washington Redskins. I just don't think Washington is going to have enough offense to muster to keep up with Tom Brady, because I think they're going to need at least 24 to 27 points to beat the Buccaneers, and I just don't think their offense has enough with the way Alex Smith has been struggling here lately with that calf muscle.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Moon here with us. Going to the AFC, a lot of pressure on Lamar Jackson this weekend. They're actually a road favorite going up against Tennessee. Does Lamar get his first postseason W?
Wow, this is going to be another great game. I mean, that's who knocked the Ravens out of the playoffs last year, the Tennessee Titans, and that was up in Baltimore. This time they're going to be in Tennessee, and you know, Tennessee has a great offense. I'm wondering about their defense, but the weakness of their defense is their secondary. So if they can play well against the run, and if they can get a lead in this football game, force Lamar Jackson to have to throw the ball more than he wants to, because he's an effective passer, there's no question about it, but he's more effective when the running game is going good. He can go more play action and kind of throw it when he wants to as opposed to when he has to. So that's going to be the key. Can the Titans get ahead early and force Lamar to be one-dimensional and have to throw it every down? But if they don't and the game stays even, I give it to Baltimore, because they have really been playing well the last 5 weeks. They've been running the ball very well, and Lamar has really been on fire throwing it off those runs.
Now getting to Buffalo, Bills will have about 6,000-7,000 fans. They have not won the division since 1995. That was broken this year, winning the AFC East. You got Josh Allen going up against Phillip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts. How do you see this game playing on out?
Yeah, this is a scary one for Buffalo. Buffalo really ended the season as one of the hottest teams in the league. Josh Allen is really playing well, especially over the last 6-7 weeks of the season. But Indianapolis, because they can run the football well, you know, they have the young runner that has really been doing a great job running the football, and their defense is one of the best in the league. They're top five defense, and they play that traditional cover two defense that doesn't allow a lot of big plays, and that's what Buffalo likes to do in the passing game. They like to go down the field with Stephon Diggs. So I think this game plays in well for the Indianapolis Colts, but I still give the edge to Buffalo just because they're playing so well as a team, and they've been playing that way leading all the way into the playoffs.
And then you look at the Browns. Unfortunately, they won't have their coach. They'll be missing some players too because of COVID-19. What do you look for with the Browns going to Pittsburgh early when you don't have your head coach who's also your offensive play caller? What are the things to look for with the Browns' offense in the first quarter?
Well, the thing that's good about the Browns is they can run the football, and they run it as well as anybody with those, you know, two running backs, Hunt and I can't think of the
Nick
other
Chubb.
Guys. Yeah, Nick Chubb, excuse me. And so if you can run the football, you have a chance to do well, because it's not very complicated. It doesn't make your offense complicated, and then you play action off that if you're running the football well. But if they're somehow not able to run the football against Pittsburgh, that's where Pittsburgh can really hurt you, because then now they can get after the passer with their pass rush, and they have a very, very aggressive defense. The key for Pittsburgh is going to be, how does Ben Roethlisberger come back after sitting out a week? You know, maybe that week helped him. Maybe it gets him out of his rhythm. You just never know. But I would think it's going to make him a lot fresher. He's going to be able to, you know, get off to a good start, throwing some high-percentage passes, get that short passing game going. But the key is going to be for Pittsburgh to shut down Cleveland's running game, because that's what Cleveland wants to do first, and then that makes Baker Mayfield a little bit more effective as far as a play-action passer.
Just going back to the Texans situation, final one here with the Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. We all know how great of a player Deshaun Watson is. He's the face of that franchise too. Is there just disappointment out of you when you look at this team and how it's got to this point where something should not happen when you have a quarterback there and he's that young, just signed an extension, and you hear about all these problems that are going now with the franchise?
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing because that city means a lot to me. It was the first place I played professional football. I lived there for 16 years. You know, I visit all the time there because I have kids that still live down there and grandkids. That's where I was for Christmas. And I have a relationship with Deshaun. So, you know, this guy quietly had a year where he could have been in the MVP candidate, in the MVP voting, but nobody knows about him because they haven't won enough games. But you look at his numbers, over 4,800 yards, 33 touchdown passes, only 7 interceptions, and he's a second leading rusher as well. So he's had an outstanding season, and you just wouldn't know about it. So this is a guy that, like I said, has been a winner ever since he's come into the league, and that's all he wants to do is have a team that he can win with, and he wants the organization to be committed to that, and he wants to be involved in the process of making that happen. So hopefully they can get things worked out because this is a great young kid. He's a young quarterback that still has his best years ahead of him. He's great in the community there as well. So he's a guy that you want to have leading your football team. So hopefully they can work this out.
Yeah, I hope so too, because he is such a great player, like you're saying. And if this gets down to a road where they mess up that meeting and they can't find a way to rectify this, then really shame on the organization, right?
Yeah, you don't find quarterbacks like that very easy. You can easily say, and most people could say, oh, if he's unhappy here, well, we'll just get somebody else. There's not a lot of guys like him walking around anywhere in college or anywhere in the league. You know, there's probably three or four guys that are as good or better than him in the league right now. He's right up there with the best quarterbacks in this league. So you don't let one of those get away because he can be with your franchise for the next 10 or 12 years, and you want to make sure you have that type of guy in your organization.
Warren, thanks so much. You be well. Be safe.
All right, Zach. Take care, man. Thank you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.